the way that we live our lives is different. And the way, like, I've seen it in younger people just that I work with and everything, their, like, values are different. The way they've been able to experience the world has been different. That has to take a toll. We talked about the impact of, like, the amount of stress and anxiety that people have felt during that time frame and after. Like, I think every year for the last, I don't even know how many years, like, the stress and anxiety levels, particularly in the United States, have just gone up.
Yeah.
Been skyrocketing.
I think this is one of the first indicators that of a byproduct of the pandemic, you know, especially the idea of the younger individuals are feeling unhappy.
Are the ones dragging it down, whereas those happier, like the happy countries, the older population is less happy. It's the younger population that's lifting it up.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. Welcome back if you are a regular listener. And if you've never listened to us before, greetings. Welcome. We are excited to have you with us today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And today's topic, I think, is one that affects many of us because we're talking about why the United States might actually have a happiness problem.
Mm-hmm.
Question not mark?
Too much?
Slash statement?
Too much or not enough?
We're going to find out.
Oh!
We're going to get into it. We're going to dig into it.
We're teasing you folks.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Tease is healthy for you.
That's right. But before we get into it, we got to tell them to make sure they do their ratings and reviews.
Yes, we like to hear feedback, and we also like to get input. So if there is a particular topic or a new trend or study or something that has got you questioning, send it on over. We're armchair experts on a variety of things, and we enjoy digging into new topics. So even if it's like a workout trend or a workout move or something, we like try new things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely,
don't be worried. Either leave us a review. Of course, Nick always likes to say leave those 5-star ratings.
Absolutely,
and absolutely feel free to connect with us on our Instagram at the ATF podcast.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And for those who are those newbies who don't know that we have over 400 episodes, we do. So
many.
All the topics that you think there is in health and fitness, we probably talk about it. And so since it's a never-ending category, we'll keep talking about it. So if you want to listen to those past episodes, make sure you go to addictedtofitness.libsyn.com. All right, so now this is the part of the podcast that we talk about our training over this past week. And I'm going to defer to you because you were very proud of your training this week. Why so?
Why were you? I did 5 days of training this week. And I did not just like half-hour workouts, but I did like longer workouts. I did a variety of workouts. So just picking up, if you are curious about what's changed in my training, go back to last week and listen to the What's Got Me Pumped section of the last week's episode. And I get into all the details there. And it's nice. It's encouraging. I feel, you know, that we've talked about what is like a good sort of ache and feeling, but like my muscle tiredness and aches have been traveling over my body for the last 2 weeks, rotating. And it feels good to realize I am pushing my body. Mm-hmm. So it's all good. And it's like, It breathes new life and intention and purpose into training and makes it much more something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's great. So now you do the P-Volve workouts also?
Yeah, so for my strengths, it's mostly P-Volve. I also did some shadow boxing this week. Because nice. In case anybody doesn't know, I am not a martial artist. I've never done martial arts, but...
You've done kickboxing before.
I grew up kickboxing.
Yeah, my dad taught martial arts.
My dad taught me boxing, and I have done kickboxing, not competitive, but as a workout. Mm-hmm. And I have actually gotten some instruction from some actual, like, MMA traders. Trainers.
Sorry.
Who taught me, you know, how to actually kick. And
including me, right?
Yeah, and I've also been kicked in the head by Nick. So
you were holding the pad incorrectly. Sorry. Those MMA traders didn't tell you how to hold a pad, apparently.
No, they were not telling me how to hold pads. That's not something I signed up for. That is actually a long time fitness style that I have not gone near in a long time. And I forgot how much I like just shadow boxing.
Yeah.
There is something, it passes so fast. Like I did 20 minutes. And it went by like that.
What kind of rounds were you doing?
I mean, it was mostly like, you know, it'd be like a jab cross, and then you do jab cross hook.
Yeah, but maybe any length, you're doing
probably like 3 to 4 minutes, but not like intense. No. You know, I mean, I've done the constant punching, and I like when they give you a little freedom to kind of do your own thing.
Yeah.
And I do like it because I did the shadow boxing on Peloton. Kendall Tools got some really good shadow boxing. I always, ever since I was instructed properly for years after doing uppercuts wrong for so long. It is a bit of a pet peeve when I see it now. Other like instructors teaching you to do an uppercut where they're like teaching you to hit somebody like in the head. Because that's not realistically where most people are going to get with an uppercut.
Where are they going to get?
Teaching them to go into like, you know, like the core, like the center.
Mm-hmm. Body shot.
As opposed to, trying to reach all the way up to somebody's face.
I guess it depends on the height.
Yeah, it's less likely, I feel like, for girls.
For girls, I would say that's usually shorter. So yeah.
I was taught in terms of personal defense, to always go for the body shot with an uppercut.
Oh, well, if you're a girl, you always go for the junk. That's what you go for.
Well, yeah, but that's not an uppercut. That's a kick.
You just drop down to your knees.
Like Jackie right Chan is.
Yeah.
Right
to the groin.
No. No, but I also found that because I have shoulder issues on my right side, and if I keep my uppercuts lower, it puts less strain on my shoulder.
That's true.
And that actually is, that was a learning for me as well. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that was fun. I haven't done that in a long time. And then I did a little bit of yoga, and then I did spinning for my cardio. I guess shadow boxing was also kind of cardio.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a little balance.
I was saying for P-Volve, anybody wondering what the heck that is?
Oh, yeah.
We did a whole review of the P-Volve workout system and equipment back in October of 2023. So you guys can go back and check that out. For my training... I was doing martial arts this week, much like you. I did three.
You're being legitimate.
I did three jiu-jitsu classes this week, which was the most I've done in a long time. Felt pretty good, a little sore and tight here and there, but overall felt pretty good. Got a good Peloton in also and some strength training. One thing I did this week is that for my two of my three jujitsu classes, I had to get back to the gym at a certain time. So literally I was able to go to like the instructional portion of the class, then was able to get one like live roll in, and then I had to leave immediately. So it really kind of helped prevent me from getting any other injuries while taking class. So
that's kind of
nice.
That's
yeah.
The bonus.
It was beneficial. So I would say all in all, great week of training. It felt like really peaked this week, and hopefully get another week like that this week. So on to the main topic of discussion. We're talking about happiness. That's it. We're just going to solve the happiness problem right now, folks.
Yeah.
So we discovered we were looking into a recent poll that came out talking, basically ranking the happiest countries, or ranking the countries in order of happiness.
Literally called the 2024 World Happiness Report.
There we go. So I think their criteria, I know we were looking in this article, their criteria was is interesting. They looked at a few different things to kind of like rank the person's happiness or rank the individual's happiness. It was like, it was, what did they say on there? They said a lot of interpersonal relationships, social support, freedom, economic status. I think there was a couple other ones down there. Let me go. Keep going, right there.
Oh, the six factors. That's what we're looking at, right?
Yes, they looked at six
factors. Nations, healthy life expectancy, economy, levels of corruption, social support, generosity, and freedom.
That's interesting, especially the third one, levels of corruption.
Like perception too, like whether people feel like they're the world around them is corrupt or
no,
not.
No, I wholeheartedly agree. Because I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, and I don't know, I don't live in Russia, but I think there probably people that there's a lot of people that believe that the government's probably has a high level of corruption or elected officials. Same with like places
certain
like
countries, yeah,
and even on the other end of the world, Haiti, I know, is going through a lot of turmoil right now, and a lot of it's due to corruption. Because I mean, I have a client that her family's from Haiti, and they talk about how corrupt it is, and how essentially money can really influence a lot of things in small countries like that. But I mean, I shouldn't say small countries, every country. You know, I think there's United States particularly, I think there's a lot of people that believe there's corruption, especially at the highest, with our elective officials.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting thing because, I mean, basically, as we said, United States has a happiness problem. We dropped out of the top 20 this year.
Well, we were number 15 last year. This study's been done, I think, only for about 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the first time that we've actually dropped out of the top 20. And right now we are number 23.
Yeah.
I think it's 8 spots. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
And you know, I think it's out of 140 countries, I think I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, and Afghanistan is last.
Yeah. Which I wouldn't say it's shocking.
Not surprising with what we're aware of even.
Right.
So, but Finland, Denmark, Iceland, Sweden,
the Scandinavian,
the top four.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I know Israel's number 5, which, I mean, I don't know when they took this poll, but, you know, it's probably, anywho, and then, like you said, a lot of Eastern
Netherlands, Norway,
Scandinavian countries,
Switzerland,
and Eastern,
Australia,
or Western European countries.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting also because, especially the Scandinavian countries they're not densely populated.
Right.
You know, obviously conditions there. But I've heard that many times people talk about how those are the happiest countries or are the happiest countries.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And, you know, obviously just to kind of relay, kind of get back to United States when reading through this article, they had a lot of interesting topics about how it was like divided up amongst age groups for happiness.
Yeah, how it differed and how that has shifted a bit as well.
And how, like, they were talking about the United States, how the older people, I think it was like 60 or older,
are
feel happier. Happy, and then 30 and under or not.
It's the younger group that is really coming out as very unhappy. And I think they had pulled some stats on it, and like family was listed as one of the reasons of not being as happy. Family, I think, you know, I think a lot of people might think politics, which I think it was on the list, but it was not like the top one.
Right.
But I think that idea of like family support, that's something that
social support is being
challenged a lot more. Particularly since, like, you know, the under 30s, they've had to, the last 4 years, they've had to work completely different.
Yeah, I think the pandemic definitely.
With not a lot of experience, you know, under their belts, and that probably threw them. I mean, that changed. I think as far as we all feel like we're out of it, like, we aren't. The world changed. It fundamentally changed. The way that we live our lives is different. And the way, like, I've seen it in younger people just that I work with and everything, their, like, values are different. The way they've been able to experience the world has been different. That has to take a toll. We talked about the impact of, like, the amount of stress and anxiety that people have felt during that time frame and after. Like, I think every year for the last, I don't even know how many years, like, the stress and anxiety levels, particularly in the United States, have just gone up.
Have been
skyrocketing.
I think this is one of the first indicators that of the a byproduct of the pandemic, you know, especially the idea of the younger individuals are feeling unhappy.
Are the ones dragging it down, whereas those happier, like the happy countries, the older population is less happy. It's the younger population that's lifting it up.
In Eastern European countries, I think they were saying, like, in the European countries where the younger people were happier.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, like, too, because, like, I mean, who were the people that were most, who were in the most danger during the pandemic? It was the older groups, right? They were perceived to be the highly, what's the word I'm dumping for?
Like, in jeopardy and most susceptible.
Yeah,
and
most susceptible, I think that was the word for. But, you know, obviously, you know, people that made it through the pandemic, their happiness levels on the rise, you know, in this country, but the 30 and below, the people that were, you know, were essentially, you know, segregated from individuals and did not have any real, like, the kind of interactions that you would have at a certain point of your life, this is starting to come out to see how the negative effects of people, you know, and I think, and they didn't go into it in this article. I think they kind of touched on a little bit about social media.
Social media was one of the reasons I saw that they flagged.
And I think it really, and this might be just me kind of like grasping, but I think one thing that social media does, especially for younger individuals, is that it creates is it FOMO? Was it
fear of missing out?
Fear of missing out. Maybe that's FOMO. What's the one? The idea is that it's basically that somebody else has it better than I do.
Oh, well, that's just like the grass is greener,
right?
You know, somebody else, like you said,
comparing yourself to other people.
The toxic comparison. The constant toxic comparison draw is really damaging.
Right. So, absolutely. I mean, like, just experiencing, you know, the constant bombardment from social media about how well or how happy other people are compared to my life.
Yep.
You know, I feel that definitely has an influence on these numbers, or had an influence on these numbers, because I just think that people think that is reality, or especially young people that have not had the life experiences to know that that's not reality. That's a almost like a virtual reality. You know, it's created. It's a It's curated. I know you use that word about online content being curated to put forth a certain kind of perception. And sadly, when you're young and your brain is still developing, you do not understand that that's not reality, you know?
Well, it's interesting because I'm looking at the actual report itself, which is you can find it by going to worldhappiness.report. There it is.
There you go. Thank you.
And they break it down into kind of some key takeaways for you. And I pulled up specifically the section on like adolescence and child well-beings because the younger numbers really were dragging it down. I'd read in some of the summaries. And they said that children aged 10 to 15 or early to middle adolescence prior to COVID, those in more higher income countries, so like the United States, North America, they had listed much more significant life satisfaction. And they saw that go down after COVID, particularly among females. And that was something else I saw called out in a number of categories. Females overall were one of the most impacted groups amongst those kind of populations they looked at that were reporting declines in happiness.
Interesting.
And I can say from like a political standpoint, I think that there has been like policy and pressure around women as we saw many studies, pandemic, post-pandemic, where women in the workplace were more affected by like the family impacts and like the having to work from home and also juggle kids that are now part of the time in school and working from school, working from home. Like all of that was more complicated. So women also were kind of dragging these numbers down as well. But it's starting, I mean, as early as 10 to 15 year olds, even females were reporting lower life satisfaction, just, you know, overall unhappy.
Yeah. I mean, that one article we looked at, I mean, they were talking about, they made a quote from one of the researchers of this poll that they were saying it seems that they're seeing similarities between 15 and 25 year olds of having a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? That is nuts kinda because, crazy. And to relate it to kind of like current, you know, and thing we like to do in this podcast is relate it to things that are happening in our lives. And even though this is kind of happening to us, this is, even though it's a article or a research study, I mean, I've had multiple conversations with people, friends and clients are talking about, you know, trying to get over issues that are related to happiness, you know, why things that are like why they're not happy and they're acting out doing certain things. You know, I'm trying to be vague, but it seems, and these are guys my age, you know, people my age. So it's like it seems that it's, I wondered out loud to myself last week. I was like, what is going on? I was like, I know things comes in bunches. It seems like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, why is this happening, you know, now? But I think it really is, and I mean, a lot of this article is kind of just another piece of the evidence about, I mean, we're really starting to see some of the ramifications of COVID. You know, I think the mental ramifications, but I think it's also and that's maybe just one small reason, you know, or a possible contributing factor, but it sounds like we've talked about there are other things, economy, corruptness of of our elected officials or the perceived corruption of our elected officials.
Right.
You know, so it's like, and the other thing about freedom, generosity, I mean, those were kind of the other factors that they have factored into being happy. And I mean, I think some people, and depending on what country they are, those things are really few and far between.
Well, and one of the things that they kind of group together, that social connectedness, which is several data points. So It showed that they peak loneliness for younger Americans, and they tie that like idea of social support, having social support, you know, you're going to feel less lonely, you're going to feel overall more happy. But they found in this study that across various age groups, they saw, you know, a difference here. And they said ultimately, it's those interpersonal relationships that may actually have a bigger impact on the well-being of younger individuals that may be a little bit different than older individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, it's affecting people in specific ways.
Right.
But that younger, you know, younger generations, I mean, I hate to say like back in the day, but like I feel like we were really lucky the way that we had access to, yeah. I mean, even like college life, dear gosh, can you imagine going to college and like not seeing people yeah. in your class?
Yeah.
Like that was how you built a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. Like I had some friends that I really just saw in class and yeah. that was it. But the way that people are making relationships, this goes back to like social media. It goes back to like, I mean, dating apps.
Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah,
it's
like
literally, it's not normal to just go out and meet people in a bar. Yeah. It's you're doing.
I've heard multiple
all the apps.
People in their late 20s and early 30s. It's like there's no other way to meet people besides yeah. the apps.
Yeah, which is bananas.
Yes, so. I don't want to, like I said, I think this is a very interesting
article.
Very
interesting.
Very informative. But
huge report.
I think I want to leave or offer some possible action steps. Because I don't want to just, like, give all this data and this, like, oh, here's all this, you know, less than, you know, energizing data. Less than, you know, I guess, inspirational data for you.
Well. And let me just run down like the partners, like the people that are involved in this and ultimately why this is a significant study.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Gallup was the group that did like, I think, a bulk of this.
Right. They're like
and
the
go-to
poll company.
They partnered with Oxford Wellbeing Research Center, the UN Sustainable Development Solutions Network, and the WHR's editorial board. So they had a range of people, but one of the big things that they're saying to really draw from this is notice like where there's need for policy support.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, this is America slipped down in the polls for this, but we've also put a lot of emphasis on happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing these you know various areas shift for different demographics. I think we're, you know, like this is an indicator of where the population is feeling they need maybe some extra policy to support them, and which is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, if actually it's used for that. But I mean, I feel like that's a slightly silver lining to this is that this is, I don't think, leveling the playing field across the globe of like looking at, you know, where different countries may be getting some things, you know, right in terms of supporting their citizens or
right.
their citizens feeling supported. But it's something.
Yeah. No, I think, this information is somewhat of a wake-up call, I think. You know, obviously, we live in the United States, so it's an indicator to us that we've dropped, and especially in the demographic that feels the most unhappy, the younger generation. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, I think, an indicator of how the younger generations interact. And one, and just
how
one indicator, right? And how it's changed and how people aren't able, of the younger generation, aren't feeling as satisfied, as rewarded with this new type of interactions.
Yeah.
So how do we affect that? So hopefully we talk to people that are in that age group, and maybe you are feeling unhappy right now. So one way to change it is, you know, is to, I think, first kind of start with with your family. You know, I know it's not the easiest thing to say, because I think between Shannon and I mean, not that every family member we're have a constant open dialogue with, but I think we do our best and do a great job of trying to stay in contact with family and make sure.
We live far away from our family.
Right.
Too,
exactly.
So.
Right.
So it's a different dynamic.
That's right. So, but you have to put an effort forward to stay in contact. Make Zoom calls, right? Make FaceTime calls a priority. Mm-hmm. Send those cards on birthdays or holidays. You know, travel when you can. You know, I know it's not easier said than done, talking about economics and people's finances, but do your best you can to see people in person. I think as far as like friends, I know it's trying to make friends, especially, and when we've talked about, and we probably said on the podcast, it's hard to make friends when you're an adult, especially when you're an adult with a child.
Oh my gosh, it's so freaking hard.
You know, you essentially grab on to any, like, once you force, like, obviously your child interacts with another child at the school or daycare or something, then you find parents that you like are simpatico with.
Yeah.
And you hold on to them with both hands. So you're just like, please.
Absolutely.
Please like me.
You have, yeah, like that has happened to us.
Yeah.
There are like a couple situations where our kids were coming together, which if you have younger kids, it's not like you drop them off and you go and shop or you go out to lunch or something. You're there with the kids and the other parents. And like, you better have your awkward conversation topics ready to go to avoid the awkwardness, not make it more awkward. But
that sounded like you wanted to make it.
I know. I was like, wait a second. But especially like, I think there's just, if somebody has like younger kids and like it's their first time parents, they're in the same boat.
Yeah.
And you can tell they just want to find people that they enjoy spending time with, because they're like, we're going to be put together. We're going to be smushed together for like a few years at least. We better like each other.
Yeah.
But we have met some super nice people that we never would have met otherwise.
Yeah.
And I mean, but like cultivating those relationships at the stage of life where we are is so freaking hard.
Yeah.
Because like I don't go into an office anymore. So making relationships with people, which literally is my job, by the way. It is different and it's more challenging now. And like you have to plan those points of contact so strategically. And then you realize some days, like I was texting with a friend. I had a really hard week last week. And he's like, do you want to just go out and get like a coffee or a drink? And I was like, yes. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to, like, this is not a novel thought, but because it's not an easy thing. And he's like, when can we meet up? And I was like 3 weeks? Like, would that work? No time to meet for like 3 weeks. I'm like, son of a bitch, why is this so hard?
That's the thing. And that's kind of and not saying this is not the solution. I'm not saying you should make the solution. And we're always going to run into that. And hopefully when you're younger in this younger group, maybe you have less responsibilities. Not saying you do, but maybe there's opportunity where you make the time with the friend system or the support system that you have to spend time with them and have meaningful conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, you got to put yourself into social situations. We've come to the point now in 2024 that you have to go out and get this socialize. You know, online socialization is not the same thing. So you have to go out there. So I recommend volunteering, whether it be for something that you enjoy. You like animals, volunteer at a humane society. If you like kids, you can volunteer at a summer camp or something like that. If you like sports, kickball, I used to play kickball, a co-ed kickball league with people my same age, you know, softball, mm-hmm. whatever sports there are, there's that. I'm sure there's like, what is the Color Me Mine thing?
You can go do Color Me Mine. Oh, yeah, like the pottery.
Make a candle or something.
Pottery is actually like really becoming very trendy.
You got it. You have to go and force yourself. I know probably most of it, I think probably the younger generation's becoming more introverts, which I understand is a challenge in itself, but you just, you maybe a couple of your besties go out and do the social situation, because I think that's a must. And I think, I think a lot of us can benefit from some of the services that are out there nowadays where you can mm-hmm. just talk to a professional. You know, I've heard about online therapy, and I know it's online. We're talking about getting away from online, but talking to a professional, even though it's online, is beneficial. You know,
yeah, they're somebody that can, where you're comfortable, kind of.
That's somebody that can give you the kind of the knowledge and maybe some more action steps to help you get out and find that happiness. You know, not only, I mean, we talked about the factors, remember, economy, you know, social support, generosity, freedom. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think generosity, giving, like you said, volunteering, that's one way you can improve the happiness level. That I think is really, really tangible, being someone that's done that before.
Yeah.
I think that's something that you get immediate feedback.
Well, and I mean, you talk about social support, like, if anything, I feel like this is a reminder of, even if you are, you know, outside of that age range, make a point to try to befriend, like, a 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's like they're looking for direction and they're looking for support and they need it. Like, just like we needed it. We've all, for those of us who have made it through that tumultuous time in our life, you know, give them a chance and, you know, see what kind of relationship you can provide. You know, I'm a big proponent for advocating mentors.
I was going to say mentee.
I have a mentee right now. Mm. I think she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
She's a single mom, like a 20-something single mom, just graduated college like in the last year. And I'm like, you are ahead just because you're trying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just so inspiring to see people doing that. And it keeps me a bit connected to people that are not in that same stage of life as me. And I really value everything that you can learn too, like having friendships with people from other generations, offering support to people of other generations, so valuable.
I agree. And I think this is a great topic, and I think we can keep building on it in future episodes. So I think we're going to do that. We're running a little bit long today, so we're going to table our What's Got Us Pumped. So we can save you. We're going to give you an extra special one, guys, next week.
The pressure is on.
That's right. So make sure you stay tuned for that one. Thanks, you guys, for listening. Please let us know if you have any personal experience with your happiness level and you want to share it with us. Connect with us on Instagram. Just send us a DM at the ATF Podcast. You know, we'll keep it all anonymous if you want to share with us, of course. We will be that connection if you'd like to be, because we're happy to connect with people. So don't forget rating reviews and also share the podcast with a friend, because we got plenty of topics that I'm sure somebody's asked you a question about, and you can say, hey, I know Addictive Fitness talked about that. And you can share the link with them.
And just like supporting other people is helpful, supporting us also helpful.
True. Mm-hmm. Makes us happy.
Exactly.
You got anything else for them?
That's it.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, at the ATF Podcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes Store. Thanks.